All right. It's another episode of Wearable Takeover. I am your host, Lakeisha Greenwade, also known as Coach L, also the founder of Wearable Tech Ventures. This is an exciting time because this episode actually will publish and launch on the first day of a global wearable tech hackathon known as Tech Remix. You can get details and learn more about it. And if you missed it, catch the photos and all the praise on LinkedIn at Wearable Tech Ventures, as well as www.wearabletechventures.org. But I'm incredibly excited today because one of the things we've done is we've launched a founder ambassador program, and we have founders from all over the world that we've identified as folks that we want to work with over the next year and building this amazing network, building collaboration, innovation, just sharing stuff. It's one of the best group masterminds, if you will, and they get direct advisory support from our supreme advisors at Wearable Tech Ventures. So folks, I share that because now we're going to journey to Canada. Yes, I know some of you may be thinking, is that where I'm going to go if stuff hits the fan in the economy? But anyway, no, there's some amazing innovation here out of Toronto, Canada. And so to my Wearable Takeover community, whether you're listening or whether you're watching, please join me virtually by welcoming Nathan Elliott of Status Ring. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Nathan,
we are so excited to have you join our founder ambassadors. You are going to be our Canada representative. That's a really, really big deal. And so basically, Nathan's going to be holding the Wearable Tech Ventures flag. He's going to be representing us in Canada, helping to stimulate the awareness of what we're doing and stimulate participation in our programs. But then also we're supporting him, and he has some amazing things that he's doing, and I want to share that. But before we get into all of the techie stuff, Nathan, right? Why don't you tell us a little bit about young Nathan? Who is young Nathan? Where did Nathan grow up? What was he into? What were your interests? And I think this is important because we're also in a season where we're dealing and we are putting a lot of resources into youth around the USA. And it's important for them to understand that there's different stories and different journeys into tech. So help us understand young Nathan, and then we'll get to what you're doing right now.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the introduction. And let's get started. Why not? So the young Nathan was a professional actor.
Wow.
Yeah, since I was 17 years old up until 24, 25, I took on acting hardcore. I was traveling cross country for shows, for gigs, for feature films, whatever I fit the role, you know what I mean? And I mean, having an agent in the US helped me a lot to, get in front of people and see what the world's like. So I have a huge media background in front of the camera and behind the camera. And I graduated from acting school.
Wait a minute. This is amazing. Okay, so acting school. So tell us about that. When did you start acting school? How did you choose it? All of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I decided after high school, I was helping my drama teacher teach her class.
Wow.
And I was getting a math credit and to replace that because I would leave my math class, and my drama teacher asked if I can come to her class, teach the her class. So they made an arrangement to get me a credit during that time. So leaving school, I had a very...
So you negotiated early. So early. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So coming out of school, they really pushed me to go to Toronto Film School. They thought I was a great candidate, so I got accepted. I got into film school. It was a life-changing experience for me. I feel like I needed to understand myself a little bit more. That's mm-hmm. what I always tell people that think about going to acting school. You need to understand yourself a little bit more. Try it, because you understand more than enough. and you'll find out a lot about yourself. So I think I needed that regardless if I was pursuing the career of acting or if I was just doing it as a hobby. Mm-hmm. It was very, very helpful for me. So yeah, I did that and I graduated from film school in 2008, I would say. Wow. Yeah. And going from there, everything kind of just went uphill. I was doing like commercial gigs, GMC commercials, like huge commercials. And yeah, I did a commercial that the GMC ad that played during the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, and that check was pretty much the biggest check I've ever seen as an actor. So instead of doing what everybody else did, was like take it and spend it all and do it on travel or whatever, I'm like, how can I like kind of invest this? Because acting was always, it's almost like working from paycheck to paycheck. You're always like just trying to run to the next audition, trying to get the next gig, and you may not get the next gig. So it was tough for me to see anything ahead, 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down with somebody, a very smart person, that said, you know, like, have you thought about getting into business? And I mean, mind me, I was just doing a little bit of coding, a little bit of website development at the time. So I'm like, you know, that sounds like a good idea. Why not? So I got together with a friend of mine, and we kind of sat down and we thought about some business ideas, and nothing came. Nothing. I was flat, empty. So anyways, a week went by, and things got really tough with acting. I couldn't afford my own key fob to get into my building, and that is a low point that I was at. I couldn't even afford to, you know, copy the key to get into my building. So me and my innovative self, I just decided, let me see if I can make this on my own, because I was getting so much hassle from the building to get my own key. So I said, let me try to make it on my own. Called AliExpress. I mean, I ordered a copier and got an RFID chip, and my friend printed a piece of plastic with his 3D printer upstairs, and I just stuck everything together. Next day, I was in and out of my building, no problem.
Wait a minute. This is amazing. And getting into his story, and folks, before I forget, let me read a little bit of his bio, because I got excited. Normally, I read all of our folks' bios when they first join the episode, and there's so much to unpack just from what you just shared there, Nathan. So, folks, allow me to remix the way I'm doing today's episode. So let me just read this. With a career that covers both media and technology, Nathan Elliott applies a diverse mix of skills, which he's already demonstrated in this brief intro, as the president and CEO of Status Ring, a smart ring platform that delivers a contactless feature such as business card networking, access control, and tap payments. He is truly a visionary, an innovative strategist, and a mobile technology expert. He understands the systems and infrastructures that are vital for creating long-term value in the mobile tech space. A serial entrepreneur, Nathan strives to be an aspirational leader on representation and changing the face of entrepreneurship. Really, that meant inspirational, folks, so forgive me. It's the congestion. So he also has dedicated his work to empowering underserved individuals and communities to act and proactively be in the change they want to see. Nathan, already I can tell that you're doing that, you're working in purpose. And I have to share this because one of the things I've noticed in this, if I could call it a game, right? Because it's almost like a cycle people want founders to go through. There is a period of development. In certain cases, there's a period of waiting. And I don't know, do you know the story of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
So are you familiar, like before he was acting, he was in the real estate and that helped to sustain his career?
Yes.
Right. Yep. So he had income coming in. Mm-hmm. And so founders, when I spoke at the Pennsylvania Women's Conference, I talked to doctors and businesswomen and other founders. And one of the things I told them is that if you will not commit at least 7 years to your vision or to your product journey, don't even get started. Don't even get started. And hopefully it doesn't take 7 years. But there's a lot of things that can happen in 7 years. And one of the things I like about your journey, Nathan, that is similar to that of Arnold Schwarzenegger when he started, was that you knew that, especially being in the acting world, things can come, things can go, you could be broke. But he got into real estate, and that real estate income helped to sustain him through that particular journey. Yes. And so our founders, as you are working on your product development and as you are seeking founding and preparing yourself so that you can receive that, it's important to have another stream of income. And so if you look at the Linktree that is affiliated with me, Linktree, a Lucky Fit or whatnot, there's some opportunities there for you to gain some income as an affiliate or working on investing and some other things to support you. Because the more well-rounded you could be and not have to rely so much on other sources for income, the better off it's going to be. And I'm saying this because the journey, we hope we can make this journey easy for you, but things happen and we're still developing. And so Nathan, let's talk a little, I mean, so you said that was a low point for you and you could not afford your key.
My own key fob. Like, that was a point where, I mean, I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't figure myself out. I think it was a big, I realized that it was a problem with myself. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I need to change a few things along with building something valuable.
Yes.
Along with building something of value. Parallel to that, I started reading every day.
Yes.
For about 2 hours.
Yes.
Books within the field that I wanted to be in. I started listening to audiobooks instead of music. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing is, like, I literally replace music with audiobooks because music is the frequency. It's the what we listen to. It's what we get information from music, as much as people don't like to think about it like that. That's how it works. So if you can just, you know, it's what you feed yourself on a daily basis that matters and makes the biggest change. So, reading audiobooks, just, you know, going and network and introducing myself to people that I wouldn't really introduce myself to, just, and getting out there. That's, three of the biggest things I've done and, that have changed a lot for me.
I love it. So basically, if we sum it up, you made a pivot and decided to invest in yourself.
Correct.
You knew you were going to transition careers. And I think that's important for especially the folks that we're targeting when we talk about these underrepresented communities, and hopefully, you know, identifying our 100 founders by 2030, is that everyone may not come from a traditional IT or tech background. There are many people that may transition in their careers. And so you took it upon yourself to invest in yourself, which is why he's one of our founder ambassadors, folks. I'm telling you. We got people that represent that message that we're trying to relay to the public. And I love that. So you were reading. So, okay, really quickly, mm-hmm. top three books.
I know I'm putting three books.
Top three books that you think people should read or listen to right now.
How to Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich. Sorry. How to Influence. Anyways, we're right here.
Okay. I love it. He got them ready. He said, I'm not just going
to tell you. How to Win Friends and Influence People is a book that I read every year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every single year. Okay. Thinking You're Rich by Napoleon Hill. And another book that I'm reading right now is The Lean Startup. I think anybody that's running into startup world and wants to understand the ins and outs of a startup is The Lean Startup by Eric Ries is pretty much the best startup book I've ever read, because it talks about his the inception of how he got the idea, how they worked through their customer acquisition, and just very detailed information on how you should run a startup and the mistakes they made. So, those are my three favorite books, I would say.
I love it. Okay, so a couple of thoughts going through my mind. And people, if you've listened to Wearable Takeover before, you know that I have the audacity to ask, by the way, you can get my book at the end of July on Amazon. But Nathan, so I'm thinking here, I have a Founders and Leaders book and podcast club. So I think it would be awesome to bring you on as a co-host for a couple of months throughout the year. And then I'm thinking it might be kind of awesome to put all of our founder ambassador stories into a book. And you know, we sell that for each iteration, for each cohort, if you will. Mm-hmm. we package that. So when we get all the founder ambassadors, so we have year one, year two, you know what I mean? And so, you know, just coming out here. So I got the audacity to ask, what you think about that? What you think about that?
That's, no, honestly, it's good. Let's go. Let's do it. Wait, there's, you got to see something. The educational system is messed up.
Yeah.
Like, this is the new way of learning.
Mm-hmm.
People will come here to like learn as much as they possibly can instead of going to school.
Yes.
And that's how I looked at it. Like when I was learning about entrepreneurship and being a founder and how to create a financial model, I did not go to accounting school. I did not go to school to create the model, but I learned.
Yes.
So I think as much information as you can put out and as much help that you can get, that's perfect. I think that's my opinion. That's perfect. Perfect for founders.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so let's talk about the Keepob. So you couldn't afford a Keepob.
Yeah.
And you made your own. And so you used some things such as 3D printing and some other things that you were able to purchase. By the way, folks, we talk about makerspaces on another episode of Wearable Takeover, so make sure you tune into that. And so you started with a focus on the Keepob. You scaled to 600 users and 2 commercial buildings. So
yes.
Walk us through that process of, I can't afford this, I'm going to make this, and now I got 2 commercial buildings and customers?
All right. Nice. I like that. Moving forward, I basically got, like, all my neighbors wanted to order, like, purchase key fob from me. So what I did was I sold it for half price, which made a lot of sense because you go downstairs, it's $80, and you come to me, it's $40. So
okay.
I realized that this is a business, and the next day, actually I'll say the next night, I created a yellow flyer in the shape of a parking ticket. And on the front of the flyer, it said, "Do you need a key fob?" And what I did was...
Okay, so I just cut Nathan off because I had a cough and attacked people. This is real life. We're in the midst of all these germs coming back into the city, and I'm fighting them in the midst of, you know, preparing for Tech Remix. But Nathan, you were talking about how you developed this fob, mm-hmm. and you made it half price for people in your building. And
yep.
So you said it was $80. You made it $40. Continue on with that story.
Yeah, so we made it $40. And then I would say that night, we took it upon ourselves to do some guerrilla marketing. And what we did was we created a flyer, the shape and size of a parking ticket. On the front of that flyer, it was it said, "Do you need a key fob?" It was hella yellow. And what we did was at 4 o'clock in the morning, we went to the building next door and plastered every car from P5 to P1. So all 5 parking levels. And next day, we got a call from police saying we don't trespass. We got a call from the building.
Are you scared when you got that call from police? And what year was this?
This is maybe like five years ago.
Okay.
So about 5 years ago when we just kind of started kind of experimenting with the space. And but yeah, we needed to get the word out in an area that was full of condominiums. So thought it was the best idea to let everybody know the best way. Anyways, yeah, so police called, buildings called, and the most important call was customers.
Mm.
And I would say that was about $3,800 in sales.
Wow.
Just in that one day. So by the end of the day.
Don't skip over that. People need to hear that. One day, you get a call from the police.
Yeah.
Then you make how much again?
$3,800. Yeah. I was selling key fobs. So I was just building to building, person to person. Just by the end of the day, that's how much it was. And it was insane. So what we did.
What did department management say? Did they say you're infringing on their security?
Of course. My friend owns the company that has the TVs in the elevator. Right. And it's called Max TV. So they have TVs in your elevator, like giving you advertisements as you're going up and down the elevator. I got him to make an ad that says, "Do you need a key fob?" It said, "Do you need a key fob?" And it had all my stuff on it and all the different fobs we had. And he said that almost every property manager that he had a great relationship with told him to shut this shit down. Get it? who is this person trying to promote key fobs in the same, in the vicinity where we're trying to sell key fobs and make our money? So because there's like no, there's no regulatory behind it. I mean, anybody can just go and buy one downtown or wherever they want to copy their key fob. We just made it available, right? To, like available really like to the, to residents. So yeah, that was good. So yeah, that was a few signs of like product market fit, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. in a sense, right? So what I did was we went to Silicon Valley. We took the business, we took the idea, we took all of our key fobs, and we went to the Valley to pitch investors.
Because well, you're saying we, what does that team look like?
It was me and this one other guy that was like kind of running around with me trying to do the sales because I couldn't do it by myself.
Yeah.
He just lived in my building. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go to Silicon Valley. Let's try to like, you know, at least we can talk to investors and see how they see what they think about this idea. And wearable key fobs was unheard of. Like, I mean, I only know maybe two other businesses globally that were doing it at the scale that we were doing it at. So we went to the Valley, we pitched, and the investors looked at my hand and they said, "What's that there on your hand?" Like, and I said, it's just a key fob, another one in the shape of a ring. And he said, "I really like it. And tell me more about it." And to be honest, I couldn't tell him much about it. I couldn't, because it was just a key fob. And he's like, "No, that's what you should have brought here. That's what I like. And if you can go back to Canada, build a business behind this ring, only come back and we'll invest." And that was the all I needed to hear to go back and start running at full speed with a specific idea, which was this ring letting you into residential condos, letting you into commercial buildings, and also we also tooled it to let you into Tesla as well. So you can open your Tesla with this. Yeah.
This is amazing. So you have so many applications, but I want to backtrack a little bit because a number of lessons just in that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in yourself enough to say, there's something here. I'm going to put myself in front of investors. And although you didn't get the response at hope that you were at first that you were hoping for, you got some information that helped you to grow your business even further.
Mm-hmm.
What tips do you have for our listeners as they, one, research investors and prepare to pitch investors for that initial feedback?
First and most important tip that I have is create something of value and align that value proposition with the type of investor you're searching for.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge mistake I made, like for at least a year, was just searching for investors that were just an investor. If you had an investor on your name, I was willing to talk to you. And that was kind of a waste of time because I got a lot of no's. And the reason why was not because the product wasn't good. It's just because it's the wrong investor.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong person. He was in health tech, not in wearable tech.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was in like in commercial or whatever, or real estate investor, and he's not in wearable tech. So it's about knowing your investor, doing your research, targeting your investor the right way, getting a warm introduction from somebody from somebody on that investor's portfolio is the best way. Is literally the best way to get in front of an investor.
Repeat that for our listeners.
So getting a warm introduction from somebody on that investor's portfolio is the best way to get in front of investors and to get in, and like get some funding to get that pitch out. I mean, there's no other way. It's really hard to connect investors nowadays through cold email. It's hard to connect, even on LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn, they're very responsive to like when it comes to having a whole product and your MVP is all done. But if you just have an idea and you have to like iterate the idea to them on through email or whatever, it's very tough. So you want people that understand your space. You want people to understand how hard it is to scale in that space, or somebody that's already done that already. So then you can be speaking to that person. That's the language they want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to just speak to that investor like that. And that's what I would give to anybody listening.
I'm glad you shared that, because I pick up things from all of our guests as we're talking, and it reminds me that on this journey of building this global wearables ecosystem that also includes investors, nothing on my journey has been wasted. So you guys are pouring into me as much as you're pouring into our listeners. And I can tell you that I spent a great deal of money going to speak to investors, researching investors, but my intent was a little bit different. I was interviewing people because I needed to know what investors to invite to our table.
Oh.
Well, because mentioned. And I did this. A lot of people still don't know my name, but I thought, I want to see how they respond to me as a Black woman, just, you know, just a person with ideas. I want to see how they respond to me. And based on how they respond, I'm rating them to determine if they are able to come to the table and invest in our future founders. And for those of you that may be new to the space, there are a lot of people with a lot of money. Not everyone has access to founders. Not everyone has access to deals. And one of the beautiful things that we're building here at Wearable Tech Ventures, and one of the way we amplify it here is at Wearable Takeover, we scrutinize everything, and we make sure that those that come to our table have good intentions and have good intentions for our founders. And I'm glad you share that story and that understanding that not all investors are the right investors. And that's the other beautiful thing. And one of the things I found throughout that journey, going coast to coast, interviewing not only these investors, but also a lot of these accelerators and these incubators, I was moonlighting and gauging these programs to determine if they were good partners or if they were good fits and what were their flaws. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the beautiful things here about Wearable Tech Ventures. We did all that groundwork. And so we know, one, wearable tech. We know wearable tech. We aspire to be the number one ecosystem for wearable technology. And with all of the genius and with all of the resources we have, we want to make sure that you don't have to take that journey that Nathan went on that first time, just approaching any investor. And that's also incredibly important because we want to protect our founders' IP here. So thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
Thank you for allowing me to slow you down.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because that's so important on this journey and knowing who to approach, when to approach. But also, I hope that you were able to glean from Nathan's enthusiasm and his fire, because that's important too on the journey. So we're not trying to put out your fire. We're just saying, use that fire and use it in wisdom. So you got some great information. This investor said, I like that ring. Go and apply it to that. So then what happened?
So then I came back to the city. We got to building immediately. Just like you said, off of the energy that we had, we were very motivated to get this out the way, get it done. So as we were building an application, COVID-19 hit us all hard. Mm-hmm. And that was, I don't know, we decided to sit down and start really discussing how we're going to adjust to COVID-19 and what's going to happen. Because, I mean, a lot of businesses took a hit, right? Mm-hmm. And we're a startup. So we had a little bit more flexibility than bigger companies. I look at it like that. When you're nice and small and lean, you can move fast. You can switch positions, shift gears, however you want. And that's what we did. We looked at business cards as an hazard, as the main tool for networking. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nobody can really share business cards anymore during the COVID pandemic, right? So we decided to make it contactless. And it took us a while to figure out how, but we did. And
I can't wait to get mine. So, folks, when you see me, when you see our founder ambassadors at future conferences and summits, and especially our Global Wearable Tech Summit, we're going to have on the status ring. Boom. Yes. Power up. Pounds of that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So yeah, that, I mean, sharing your business card became a hazard. So what we decided was to create a new business model. Take a photo of your business card with your cell phone, upload it to our application, sync your ring with the application. So your user profile, you'll be syncing your ring with the profile. And then now once you're out and about, you're networking, you're meeting people, you can tap the ring on anybody else's phone. Your business card will pop up. Your contact information will pop up and they can save it immediately.
I love it. I can't wait to wear this. So how does it come? Like, you know, is it a standard look?
Yeah, I mean,
some insight on, you know, aesthetics.
The hardware? Yeah, sure. I mean, so as like how it goes is you just order your ring. You can order from our website. It's sizing is from 6 to 12.
Okay.
Just order it up, and then once you receive the ring, it'll come programmed with your social media or your network information. You would go ahead and download the application and activate the ring by using an activation code. And once you do, you're able to configure the ring however you want. You can just set it as your business card alone. You can just set it as your phone number that comes up. You can use our mobile application to show your user profile. So we have it looks like Linktree, I would say. We have a Linktree style user profile where it has your face at the top, your profile, and then a bunch of links that are connected to you. And just easy access. And we found that contactless is growing very fast in the world. I mean, so we want to take that to the 10th degree now. And so we didn't stop there. We went through business card networking. We heard about the access control, but the last pillar is tap payments.
Yes, yes. Talk about this. Get applying wearables and fintech, which is something yes. We really, really want to dive into. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, being able to use the ring for tap and pay is heard of as a European thing. Like that's not really hasn't been adopted yet here in North America. But then we're pulling our weight right now and getting it done. So we're partnering with payment integration companies across the world right now. So making it easy for anybody to upload your information, your banking information to the ring, and seamlessly like just uploading funds and being able to tap and pay and making the process as simple as possible for users, because we understand that wearable tech is not an easy thing to adopt. I mean, just having a ring with no battery is, we get a lot of questions behind it. So we want to make the process as simple as possible.
I love it. So folks, I'm not going to ask all those questions about how it works and all that, because I want you to go to the website.
Yeah.
Statusring.com. We want you to go to the website. And people can ask questions and maybe even sign up for future product generations, right?
Of course. Sign up to our newsletter on our website. And yeah, we release blog posts all the time, letting people know about wearable tech and how powerful it is.
I love this. I'm so excited about this. So what color does it come in?
Right now it comes in black, but our color modules will be silver, red, and blue.
I love this. And yeah. Then you have a new app launch happening.
Right now, our app is actually being launched in the App Store for August 1st. We have beta versions that we're just testing out right now. And we have all 400 users right now that are going to be testing our beta version, and we'll be getting a lot of feedback.
I love it. So Nathan's going to be on site with us virtually. And so I hope that, especially for those of you that are on site, those that may be listening to this in the future, that you partake in downloading that app and engaging with the status ring. That data is important. Your user feedback is important as they continue to develop this product. And we want to make sure that the status ring is a success. And I can't wait to get mine. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Send it to you soon. Yep, you'll have it soon.
Oh, this is going to be amazing. So I need one for myself, for my Lakeisha Green Wave, you know, website, but then I also need one for Wearable Tech Ventures.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to come double with it. This is amazing. All right. So Nathan, you have an amazing mind. You're able to pivot, obviously able to influence. What do you see in the future for yourself?
For myself? Yeah. I'm still learning. I'm still a student. I'm still learning at a high degree right now. I have to actively take time out of my days to stay like learning and mm-hmm. reading and building. And that I don't think I will be letting up on anytime soon. I'll say for the next 2 to 3 years, as my company grows and as the team grows, I'm constantly developing better skills and ways to run the company in the best way I possibly can. I think that's important for any CEO to think about, is continuously being a student and learning about the industry that we're in. It's, remember, we're not huge companies like Microsoft or, you know, mm-hmm. like we're startups. So there is a failure rate.
Yes.
There still is a failure rate. Like as far as you can get as far as you want, but you know, like there's competition and they will box you out with the right amount of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's easy to do for a bigger company. So we have to stay lean, stay learning, and, you know, use every loss as a lesson instead.
That's wisdom, and we encourage people to fail fast, because failing fast doesn't mean you're a failure. It actually means you're a success.
Yes.
Because you're able to move and you're nimble. I have to ask this, as it relates to a daily schedule of a founder, right? And then also touch on a point related to developing yourself as a CEO. Because one of the things I find is that in startups, you have many founders and, you know, that have the label of CEO, but they're not developing themselves as a true leader. And I think that's what some of the downfall comes from, especially as they bring on investors and investors say, all right, we're moving the leadership out the way. We're going to put in a new CEO, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's ever going to change, but I'm hoping that we can influence that so that if our founder CEOs want to stay in leadership, they can be equipped to do so. So I like what you said about making sure that you're continuously studying and making sure that you are rounding yourself out so that you also know how to manage people. That's what I mentally feel.
Yep.
And it's something that's not easy. I've seen a lot of bad managers. I used to train managers. And there were managers I wanted to get rid of, but I just couldn't. So thinking about that, you know, two questions here. One, what have you learned from a growing business of managing people? And then two, we'll get into more about your daily schedule, some suggestions for founders to build blocks of time for the most important things to help them grow. Like we said, stuff in the air everywhere, people. So protect yourself. Hide your wife. Hide your kids. Don't play.
So what I realized as a founder is, as an inventor as well.
Yes.
Like, you start in a creative mode.
Mm-hmm.
You start in a creative mode, and you do not know how long you're going to be creating for.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when there is a switchover to manager mode and creator mode is over with, you would have to delegate. You'd have to make sure you delegate, so at least all your creative stuff is delegated, because you have to then manage. And I would say past the team of 50, they would, like, that's kind of what I've been reading in articles, plus my own knowledge, industry insight. When you have more of a team of 50 is when you really have to step into manager mode. But then there's also like really good creators that can handle it more than the team of 50 and still be in creator mode as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing that I've realized is if you do not step, and the reason why I'm saying is because if you lose track or lose sight of what mode you're in, then if you find an investor, they're looking to replace you with a manager, with somebody that can manage the finances, manage the team, manage the marketing, a lot of management. That's what VCs, I would say. I wouldn't say more angels, but VCs are really, they're trying to scale to 100 million, right? Yeah. So they need somebody that can manage.
Yes. The team.
And that's, if any founder doing the right research right now, At the Y Combinator YouTube, like, startup school is great, like wearable takeover stuff. Like these things are all speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. When you get to a point of scalability, you have to become a manager or you will be replaced.
Yes.
That's all. It's very simple. Yeah, it's very simple.
Well, it's important to continuously invest in yourself. I love it. So
yes.
Do you have recommendations? Because I've shared books with my mentees, such as the 5 a.m. Club, and it actually came from one of our early advisors, Amber Ivy. She shared that book with me. Mm-hmm. But do you have suggestions for founders as far as how to create blocks of time and what to put into those blocks of time? Because life can get very blurry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When you're working on your product, especially because I know we're going to have a lot of founders that may be juggling, they may be working, and they may be working on their startup. So what tips do you have for them to create those blocks, and what should go into those blocks so that they can be more effective?
Sign up for G Suite, Google. Hey. Immediately. Sign up for G Suite if you haven't already. Get your company on there. So it's Nathan at statusring.com. Mm-hmm. It's the process, and it's actually something that everybody can follow. Sign up for G Suite, get your company name, all your employees. If you can get emails for them, that's over with. Once you sign up for G Suite, you're invited to have a Google Calendar, the most efficient Google Calendar you can possibly have. And then you start time blocking. Mm-hmm. I start by time blocking what's important to me in the daytime and what's so going to the gym. I time block my lunch. Time
block. I know that's right. Lunch, you gotta eat. And what are you eating? What are you doing? You know, I mean, seriously, because nutrition is important as a family.
Yeah, you gotta. You can't just roll through the day and expect to. You have to time block working out, eating, and routines.
Yes.
So I have two routines. I have a morning routine and an evening routine. Mm-hmm. So time blocking, what's important, your workouts, you know, eating, my routines in the morning, I wake up, I meditate, I read for an hour, I have a good meal, and I'll go to the gym, usually. Nobody's perfect.
I gotta ask you about this meditation. I use the Peloton app, but sometimes I use my my Oculus as well.
Yeah.
They should pay me for saying that. Do you use tools or do you just meditate?
I know there's different ways, but I think the most disciplined way of meditation is to focus on your breathing. Because it allows you to now depend only and solely on yourself, which when looking within, it should be only about yourself. That's how I look at it. So I've told myself not to, and I've just like literally sat there. And I'll tell you one thing. So once I started doing I started meditating, it wasn't working out too well because I just didn't. I'm like, what is this? After a month or two, I meditate with a book. A book on my, like, on the side and a pen. Mm-hmm. So I'll open my eyes and write down the insight I just got through that.
Yeah.
And I'll go back into it. Like, it's almost like controlled meditation. I use it as a way to answer questions that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really deep thing to me, and it's very close to my heart. The reason why is because if I wasn't for that, I would not be able to think clearly and answer the questions that I couldn't answer. I don't know how it just comes down. And it's downloaded, and I'm like, okay, write that down, all right, thank you God, and I'm moving on. That's how it is. That's how I look at meditation. It's very spiritual. It's almost like a prayer. It's very similar to it, but everybody has their own method. Everybody thinks differently. Everybody's mind is wired differently. So it's interesting. I think it's a journey that every founder, any CEO, any leader should take, is to find out what's going on within first.
Yes.
And in order to do that, you got to meditate. You got to sit with yourself, close and shut the world off for a second, and listen to what's going on inside your mind, because you will find some really good stuff and really bad stuff. But you got to deal with it. That is the whole point.
Discovery is the key, right?
Exactly. It's discovering.
And I'm glad you talked about this, because I got to put a plug in here, folks. We have retreats for our founders and leaders. And so we separate you from the world. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in our network, you'll find out about that. The retreat is coming up in 2023. And we also have a site that in Detroit that does meditative teas and some other things. So it's a Black female-owned business that will be doing some additional stuff with. But then our retreats, we have worked with some of the most prominent sites, and it's definitely going to be a wonderful getaway. So it's all over the world where we have these particular sites. So make sure you're in our network so you can be invited to that, and then you can meet Mason, and maybe Mason will lead us in a meditation. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. He's going. What are some other blocks? Where should they fill in those blocks?
Yeah.
So what else should they do?
Go on.
They're going to meditate. They need to eat.
Yeah, eating. What else is very important? Leaders are readers. I'm gonna say this again. Leaders are readers. You gotta read, man. Like, there's so much intelligent individuals out there that I've come across that I would not be able to understand if I didn't read. One of my advisors. His name is Ken Ma. Google him. He's on LinkedIn. I couldn't pick up a single thing from him because he's so quick.
Yeah.
When the first time I met him, I had to literally write down everything he's saying and try to keep up with him, just because I was not reading. I'll straight up tell you that my vocabulary wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So that made me want to read more, and it intrigued me. Now, what day is it? July or the 16th, 2022. Me and Ken are on the calls, going back and forth. And I always talk about that because I literally remember the days when I couldn't keep up with him. Mm-hmm. He's a super smart individual. And that's why he's one of my advisors, and he keeps me on my toes. And now the difference is night and day. So I can tell you, through experience, reading has saved my life.
I love it.
Excuse me. No worries.
That was just something that spilled, folks. Anyway, so you've dropped so many gems. Where can our folks find you on social media and online?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Nathan Elliott, Status Ring. I don't have a personal Instagram. I try to keep away from any distractions or any distortion right now. I do have an Instagram for Status Ring. It's just Status Ring on Instagram. Our TikTok page is going viral right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's status_ring. And 5 million views on some of our posts, and 4 million here. And I haven't seen numbers like that ever. So shout out to TikTok.
I love it. So folks, you've heard it here directly. Hopefully you will meet Nathan at the end of July during Tech Remix. We're so excited to have you in our founder ambassador program for this coming year. This is amazing, people.
Thank you.
I'm so honored to meet you. I'm so honored to have you within our circle. Make sure you go to statusring.com. Make sure you download his app. And of course, make sure you stay connected to us. Continue to share this podcast. Encourage people to download, listen to it. Again, it's education on the go. And then, of course, make sure you join our ecosystem. And if you want to look fly, if you want to be real fly, because Nathan talked about readers. We got shirts that say this is what a reader looks like. We got shirts that say this is what a creator looks like. Mm-hmm. You definitely got to get the one that says this is what a hacker looks like for July, okay? So all that stuff is going to be in the show notes, but we're going to say see you later for right now, because we're going to see you again real soon. Thank you so much, Nathan, for being a guest. And thank you to our listeners for being patient as we are navigating all these nasty germs in North America. Stay safe, folks, and stay healthy.